Well, good listening skills are kind of hard to find these days. We are bombarded with information coming from all sorts of different directions at a high rate of speed, and all of them demanding our quick response. When we get a text, we get antsy if we aren't answering it immediately, and if we don't, then the other person on the other end is getting antsy, wondering why we haven't responded in the first 10 seconds. News and talk shows are a constant stream of just interruption and unfinished thought. They ask a question, and about halfway through, they interrupt, and they never get through with a thought because they're on to the next question, proving the next point. And so you're just continuing stop and go and interrupt and move. As well, we're pressed for time, and listening is giving someone your time. You are sacrificing time to pay attention to what they're saying, to actually hear and to engage in the conversation when they are speaking. However, there are times in our life where our listening skills improve dramatically. If you are in the doctor's office and he is telling you why you are about to die and giving you the way that you not only are going to continue to live, but to live a very healthy life, then probably you are going to put the phone down and you're going to be paying very close attention to what the doctor is saying. As well, when you loved that boy in high school and your heart fluttered every time he said your name, I'm sure that you were probably hanging on to his every word. Well, what is the difference? Well, the difference is, in the case of the doctor, what he is saying. That information that he is giving you, that you are receiving, is of such value and such importance to your life that you are willing to set everything aside and you are willing to hone in and you're willing to listen to what he has to say. In the case of your high school sweetheart, it probably really had nothing to do with what he said. Just because he was saying it, it was important to you. Why? Because he was important to you. You were attached to him and emotionally engaged, and so you wanted to hear what he had to say. And we don't listen to people when we are distracted and moving around and cutting them off or interrupting, and we are not listening to them. Basically, what we are saying is that, listen, I am more important in this relationship than you are, or we are in control. I want you to know that I'm in control, or I want to be in control. Or, listen, this other person is not worthy of my time or my attention, and that's why I'm distracted by other things. There are other things that are important in my life at this point. And though this may be becoming the norm in our society, having poor listening skills can be dangerous in your life. When you don't listen, and when we don't listen well, then it breaks down communication, which can cause confusion. It can slow down. It can dismantle workflow. It can divide relationships, and on and on and on. However, there's a deeper issue when it comes to the void that is in our listening skills, because oftentimes what we will do is approach Christ with the same attitudes and practices as we do every other encounter, every other relationship, as an everyday encounter. We come to Jesus not really ready to listen to what he says at all. We're closed-minded with what he has to say. We're already convinced that our answer is the right answer. And so we're coming to him and we're somehow thinking we're going to convince him that it's the right answer. We often don't even approach him at all in life. And if we do, we don't really pay attention because we're distracted by iPhone, iPad, computer, TV, telephone, you name it. There's other things that get in the way and we, oh, wait a minute, stop, I've got to get this. Oh, I've got to answer this text. Oh, if I don't do this right now, the world's going to fall apart. And so we come and we're constantly distracted. Most of the conversation is usually one-sided. We do all the talking, and we don't listen to what he has to say. We're not willing to give the time it takes to really listen. And when we do this, what we're saying to Jesus is, I am more important. I want to maintain and have control. Jesus, there are other things that are more worthy of my time and more worthy of my attention than you. We've been talking about what Jesus commands or what Jesus demands of us. I want you to open your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. If you didn't bring your copy of God's Word, let me encourage you to look underneath a seat around you and turn to page 869. And there you should find Luke chapter 10. So Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Tonight we are going to talk about Jesus' command that we listen to Him. Jesus commands us to listen to Him. Follow along with me as I begin reading in verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Him and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and you are troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Jesus is welcomed into the house of these two sisters, Mary and Martha. However, these two sisters have a very different response to Jesus. Martha invited Jesus into her home, but then attended to other things. She was cooking the meal, she was setting the table, she was putting things in order and getting it ready so they could all eat. Mary welcomed Jesus into her home, and then she sat at His feet, fully engaged in what He had to say. Now, this is not teaching us that we should not serve, or that what Martha was doing was inherently wrong. There's nothing sinful about fixing a meal or preparing a table or getting the Thanksgiving house, decorated and all of those things, getting ready for company. That's not inherently wrong. What's being taught is that listening to Jesus is worth sacrificing other things, even when those things may be good things. That it is right and it is proper to set aside and to sacrifice good things in order to listen to Jesus, in order to sit at His feet. Mary put aside the lesser things of settings and food preparation in order to gain the greater, most important thing, which is the words of Jesus. And Jesus says to Martha when she complains, listen, Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Here Jesus is emphasizing the importance of His words and therefore the importance of listening to what He has to say. He says, listen, Martha, it's not that what you are doing is bad. It's that you are busy and you are anxious about all of these lesser things, and Mary has chosen the greater thing, the good thing, and that will not be taken from her. And we see this throughout Jesus' ministry. We sometimes pass off Jesus' words as introductory material when He will say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Or when He says, hear me, all of you, and understand. But Jesus, when He says those things, He's not just letting the people know that He's about to give a speech or preach a sermon, and so they all need to settle down and be quiet so they can hear what He has to say. He's commanding them to stop what they are doing and give their complete attention to hearing and applying what He is about to reveal to them. That's how important His words are. He knows the importance of His words, the weight of His words, so that He says, listen, you need to now stop what you're doing and listen. Pay attention. Give ear to what I'm about to say because it's that important. Everybody just needs to stop and listen to what I'm about to say. And Jesus demands the same from us. The Bible is our window into the very words of Jesus, and therefore we are responsible for whether we listen to him or not. Sometimes we will read the Bible as though Jesus was speaking to them. I remember preaching one time early in my ministry at a church, and Stacy was with me, and this lady came up to me after the service, and she said, "That message was so good. Man, I am so glad I was here. I know that somebody needed to hear that." In other words, that was for them. What you had to say was for them. I'm hoping that they were listening to what you were saying. The question is, we are responsible. Are we going to choose the good portion which will not be taken away? Are we going to choose to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen, to look into these words and know that they are not for them, but they are for us? We have that responsibility as well. And more so than any doctor or high school sweetheart, Jesus should be given our full attention because of who he is and because of what he says. When Jesus speaks, he speaks the very word of God. You remember back in Mark 1 when we were way back there many months ago on a Sunday, and Jesus stood, he's teaching in the synagogue, and it says that the people were amazed because he taught as one with authority. There was something different about Jesus' teaching, and it said they were amazed, they marveled because he taught with authority. They recognized what Jesus was saying was not like the other teachers who would just repeat what everybody else said, and they would repeat one another. There was something different. And this is because when Jesus spoke, he was revealing God's truth to the people. Not just in the sense of taking the Old Testament scripture and making it clearer, but when Jesus spoke, he was literally giving new truth from God. He was revealing God's message, God's word, speaking the very words of God to the people. And this is because Jesus spoke what the Father directed him to speak. In John chapter 12, verse 49, it says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Again, in John chapter 14, verse 24, Jesus says, "And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. I am speaking the Father's word, the word of God." Jesus spoke the words that the Father gave him to speak, and so he spoke for God the Father, and he spoke as God the Son. So let me ask you something. If the Creator of all things, including you, who is also the one who sustains all things, talks to you, do you think that it would be important to give your undivided attention and concern to what he had to say? I mean, if God in all of his glory and magnificence and greatness showed up and called your name, do you think you would be distracted by a text? Or do you think you would realize and understand that it is important to listen to what he has to say? Do you think that it is to your greatest benefit to stop listening to what the world says about all that's going on and you actually pay attention to God? What the world says about your marriage, what the world says about your finances, what the world says about life, to actually put that aside and make it a priority to begin to listen intently to what God has to say, which is exactly what Jesus' words are. And yet we give so little time and effort to listening to Jesus, to making sure we hear what he has to say. And we spend so much more time listening to the world. We spend time in the Word as long as we can find the time. And this usually means pushing some stuff around on our schedule so we can have 5 minutes of Bible reading and then ask God to bless our day and keep our family safe as we run out to work. If you view your daily time with God not as an exercise to gain his favor, but you view it as an opportunity to hear the very word of God for your life, then you begin not only to see its importance, but you begin to approach it with a whole different attitude and mindset. Now it's not a have to because I've got to please God or because my pastor tells me I need to spend time into the Word. It's I get to because I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus and he is giving me the very words of God for my life. We should listen to Jesus because he speaks the Word of God, but we should listen also because what he speaks are words of eternal life. As God is the giver of life, only God can speak words of life. And Jesus spoke life into the dead. Lazarus, come forth. He was the giver of life and he spoke words of life. But more importantly, he spoke words of eternal life. Why is that more important? Because Lazarus died again. And if Lazarus didn't have the words and receive the words of eternal life, then being raised from the grave the first time absolutely did him zero good. But Jesus not only spoke the words of life, he spoke words of eternal life. His disciples recognized this. Jesus was teaching one time and there was this large crowd that had gathered, mass of people. And he began to teach some very, very difficult things. And because of that, some of his disciples turned back and did not follow him. And so Jesus in John chapter 6, he looks at his inner 12, these disciples, and he asks, do you want to go away as well? And so Simon Peter answers him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In other words, we understand that the words you speak, even if they're very difficult to receive, that they bring eternal life. Now, certainly just hearing the words of Jesus didn't bring eternal life. But it was heeding Jesus' word. It isn't just hearing, it's listening. Listening, even within the definition as used in the Bible, is that you are hearing for the sake of implementing it in your life. I am receiving it so that I can apply it. I want to know what you're saying so I can go do it. And so I'm intent to listen because I know you are speaking words that are going to benefit my life. So if you want to know how to gain eternal life, then you must search the words of Christ, but you also must heed the words of Christ in your life. That's why believing is so important. And the words that we hear from Jesus are foundational to our belief. In Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. There is a connection between hearing the word of Christ and the actual faith. Don't miss that. It's the very words of Christ that actually bring faith. Christ's words bring to the one who listens faith that enables belief. This is why Satan does everything that he can to take away the seed of the word from the hearts of men. You remember the parable of the soils? Jesus said a man scatters the seed and it falls on different ground and his disciples don't understand it. And so they say, explain it to us. And Jesus said the seed first fell on hard ground. It was trampled down and the seed could not penetrate. And so what happens? The birds of the air come and they pick it up. And here's how Jesus explains it in Luke 8:12. Then the devil comes and he takes away the word from their hearts. Why? So that they may not believe and be saved. Satan knows that the words of Jesus reveal to us who he is. And when we see him for who he really is and all of the glory that he is in God, because he is God, then faith is awakened and belief follows. We know who Jesus is because of the words of Jesus. And we come to understand who he is through those words. And we see who he is through those words. And that's when we see him in his glory and magnificence that we come to place our faith in him. So when Satan can, he wants to come and he can swoop up the word. Take it away. Because he knows it builds faith, brings faith. This is why following Jesus' words designates those who are and are not His. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Notice that His sheep are defined as those who hear and follow. This means you can know that you are His if you listen to His voice and you follow what He says. However, the exact opposite is true of those that are not His. Look at these three passages of Scripture out of John. In John 8:37, Jesus says, "I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your Father." Jesus said, "My words have no place in the heart of the lost, and therefore they do what their father, the devil, tells them to do." They have a father, but it is not God the Father. Why? Because they don't follow the words of God the Father, because the words of the Father, the words of Jesus, have no room in their heart. There's no room in their heart for those words. Then look at what Jesus said in John 8:47. "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." So those who do not hear His words are not of God. When they reject Him, they don't listen, they don't want to receive them, they're not of God. Then finally, in John 18:37, we have this exchange between Jesus and Pilate. And Pilate says to Him, So you are a king? And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." So listening to the voice of Jesus bears witness that you are of the truth, and not listening to Jesus bears witness that you are not of the truth. So over and over we see that listening to Jesus, who has the words of life and the words of eternal life, has far greater ramifications and benefit than listening to what the world says. It is good, it is of great benefit when we obey Jesus' command and when we listen to Him. It is to your benefit to obey what He says, "Listen to me," to stop what you are doing, to put down the phone, to turn off the TV, to turn down the radio, to shut yourself where you are not distracted and get at the feet of Jesus and listen. Not just read, not just memorize, listen. Seek to understand and obey. So let me give you 2 points of application as we close tonight. Number one, make it a priority in your life to listen to Jesus. Not a part of your life, make it a priority in your life. And the only way you can listen to Jesus is to be in the Word on a regular basis. Now, will the Holy Spirit guide and direct you? Yes. But the Holy Spirit will never guide in conflict with, outside of, or separate from Jesus' words. Never. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to teach us after He was gone, because while Jesus was here, He was the teacher. The Holy Spirit teaches and guides you with what Jesus taught. He uses the words of Jesus, the words of God, to guide you and direct you and to teach you. So stop telling me what the Holy Spirit told you to do when it is in direct opposition to what the words of Jesus say that you should do and should not do. But I just feel like the Holy Spirit is leading me to. Well, I can guarantee you that is not what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, because right there in black and white or red, Jesus says you shouldn't be doing that. So don't tell me God gives you the exception for why you don't tithe, or why divorce is right, or why you're going to leave this one and go to the other one, or why you don't have to be coming to church. Because basically what you're saying is, I don't have to listen to what Jesus says. I'm in control. He's not important. And stop floundering around in your biblical illiteracy and disobedience. If you spend more time listening to and following the world, your friends, and your own flesh than you do listening to and following Jesus, then don't expect your life to rise above anything more than what the world, your friends, and your flesh have to offer. And guess what? They do not have the words of life to offer you. They have empty words. Colossians, Paul calls it empty deceit. So if you choose to listen to them, don't whine about why your life is so miserable. Jesus said in John 15:11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." So either get serious about being at the feet of Jesus and listening to what he has to say, or don't. But either way, stop moaning about why life is so hard and nothing ever works out and the struggles never end. Maybe your life is reaping the consequences of listening to everything else but the words of Jesus. And if listening to and following Jesus' words do not interest you, then you are not his sheep, you are not of God, you are not of the truth, because your heart has no place for his words. Now, I'm not saying following the words of Jesus or reading your Bible or having your quiet time or whatever means your life's going to be easy. That is not what I said. He said your joy may be full. He didn't say, because I'm going to change your circumstances. He said your joy is going to be full. Why? Because you will walk through life in all of those circumstances with the words of life and following the words of life. That's why I've spoken them to you. He's given you the gospel, and you have everything you need for life and godliness and all that we have in Christ Jesus. But we constantly go back to the world and back to the flesh and back to our friends and back to all these other philosophies, and then we wonder why our life is the way it is. That was number one. Number two, not only make it a priority in your life to listen to Jesus, make it a priority in your life to share the words of Jesus. Unless you carry the words of Jesus to the world, then they will not be able to listen. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? That is not without people being called to gospel ministry and stand up in churches. That word is proclaim. How are they to hear without someone proclaiming? How are they to hear the words of Christ if nobody proclaims the words of Christ? For those of us who savor the words of Jesus, we have to be intentional to share his words with others so that they have the opportunity to listen. If we are silent, they have nothing to listen to. To delight in the gospel is not to hoard it like a piece of chocolate cake. It's that piece of chocolate cake there sitting in the on the island that is so awkward, right? And so somebody decides, well, I can't have it now. I'll just put it in the back of the refrigerator where nobody else sees it. And if they think it's gone, they won't eat it. So that when I want it, I'll go back and get it because I love that chocolate cake. That is not delighting in the gospel. Delighting in the gospel is taking it and sharing it and exclaiming it and proclaiming it like you would your firstborn child. Hey, let me tell you about my child. Tell you his weight. I can tell you his eye color, his hair color. I want to tell everybody about my firstborn. That is delighting in your child because you are sharing him with everybody. Listen, it's not for us to determine who has ears to hear and who doesn't. It's for us to spread the word, to declare the good news of the glory of God in the person of Jesus, found only in these words. And in the words of Jesus, we hold within our hearts and in our minds the very words of eternal life. And they are as powerful today as they were when Jesus first spoke them. Not because of who is carrying the words, but because of the very words that are being carried and who they point to and what they are saying. This is what Paul says at the beginning of Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. We have the words of eternal life. We don't put them in our pocket and carry them around. And if it's convenient, pull them out and maybe share it with someone. We should declare boldly the words of Jesus. And so we come at his feet every day and we listen. What do you have to say to me? You be my God. You be my teacher. And then we take those words of life and we apply them to our life so that when we go and we live, then our lives reflect the gospel and our lips declare the gospel. Jesus didn't suggest, he commanded that you listen to him. Let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful that you gave us this word. Thank you that you protected it, that it is true. And we thank you that the words that Jesus spoke were words of life and words of eternal life. And that we have tasted of those words, and that you have worked in us that we would receive those words, and that in receiving those words, we have found eternal life. But Father, where eternal life began, listening didn't cease. It didn't end. You meant that this life that we live now would be joyful and abundant. That's what Jesus said. I came to give you life, and I came to give you abundant life. And we're thankful that that didn't mean kingdoms and riches and ease. But what it meant was life with you, walking through death of a loved one with you, walking through sickness with your words, walking through financial issues and problems and strains with your wisdom. Living with another, with you as the foundation. So that as life happens, and as the walls cave in, or as you so graciously would put us on the mountaintops, we direct all of the praise and the honor and all of life to you and towards your glory. And so forgive us for being a people who have the word, probably 4, 5, 6 copies on our shelves in our homes, access to the very word of God, to the words of Jesus, and yet we spend so little time and so little effort at your feet, to be at your feet. Forgive us where the things of this world have convinced us that they are more important. God, give us a hunger for your word. And I pray that as your disciples, we would sit at your feet, receive your instruction, and go live and proclaim the gospel as you have called us to do. And we pray this to your glory, and we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.